It's a schutzpah and honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parshas Bo. We're going to do like we always do every week. We're going to ask a couple of questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yisod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Paragir Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, Bo El Paro, Ki Ani Echbadti El Libo, Let's Leave Avadov. Hashem comes to Moshe and he says, Go! Come to Paro, because I hardened his heart. The Bala Turim says, a famous Bala Turim, that the gematria of Bo is 3. And in this week's Parsha, with the end of the Eser Makos, last week's Parsha's Vayera, we had the 7. And this week's Parsha, we have the 3, Bo is gematria 3. I remember my cousin giving a little shout out, Eli Sklar. Remember him getting up one time saying, it's Parsha's Bo, gematria 3. That's how many markers. And he sat down, and the whole place is like, wow, that's the best of our Torah we ever heard. Got right to the point. But we're not going to do that here. I'm sorry. So we know that right in the beginning of the Parsha, we have an interesting conversation between Moshe and Paro. We all know when we were little children that you guys maybe still sing it, don't be embarrassed, that right, Moshe came to Paro and said, come, let my people go. And Paro said, no, 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 I will not let them go. Okay, so now in Perek Yud, Pasuk Zion, Moshe and Paro are going back and forth. And then Paro finally says an amazing thing. He says, Vayomer Avdei Pare Lav, stop doing this to us. Shalach et anashim bayabdu. Go and send out your men. Then what is Moshe Rabbeinu's response in Pasuk Tet, Paragir Pasuk Tet? Vayomer Moshe, binareinu ubizekenu neleich, bimaneinu ubnosenu. Moshe responds, no. With our youngsters, with our elders shall we go, with our sons and with our daughters. Question 1. What is the give and take? What's the give and take? What was Paro saying? Why did he say it's only going to be the men? And how come Moshe said, no. It's not just going to be the men. It's going to be our children. It's going to be the elders. It's going to be the sons. And it's going to be the daughters. Question 1. Question 2. We know that the first of this week's parsha, the 8th plague, is Arba. Arba, which we all know, is locusts. Now, it's very interesting because, again, we have a lot of, last week we spoke about Svardeya, and we gave a shout out to Mr. Rothberg, got an email from him, Shragi's father, who's listening to the parsha shiur about stop hitting the frog and one has to control their anger. But it's very interesting, when we have Arba, which is the 8th Makkah. Again, the Sifrei Chazal say that it goes in groups. Again, there's different grouping, but one group is 7, and now the last 3. And Arba is a very extreme Makkah. But if you look, Paro goes crazy. Paro says, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'm going to bring these locusts, and then finally Paro says, Vayimaher Paro kol Moshe la'aron vayomer chatati la'Hashem. Paro runs to Moshe and he says, I sinned before you. He's saying, get rid of this is crazy. And then Hashem went and Moshe davened to Hashem. So the question that the Mefarshim ask is, why, again, it was a bad plague, but what was so unique about the locusts, about the Arba? Why was Paro going crazy about it? Again, all the Makkos were hard, but it seems that Paro is extreme with Arba. Question 2. Question 3. Perek Yedez, Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Moshe Ve'Aharon Be'aretz Mitzrayim Le'mor, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. We are introduced to the first mitzvah of the Torah, Kiddush HaChodesh, sanctifying the moon. And we all know, if we don't know, we're going to make it known now, the first Rashi in the Torah in Bereshis says, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Amar Rav Yitzchak. It's actually a fascinating discussion. Who is this Amar Rav Yitzchak? The Taz says that the Amar Rav Yitzchak is, Rashi is giving a shout out to his pops for being a great father and teaching Rav Yitzchak, right? Because Rashi is Shlomo ben Yitzchaki, and maybe the Taz says it's his father, to show Makar Satov. But the question that Rashi says, Lo yasarach lahatil satora, erim yichodesh hazeh lachem. The Torah should only start from HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. Shehi mitzvah rishona. Umatam patat bereshis. So why do you start with bereshis, the creation of the world, and then Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, says Rashi, quoting the pasuk, Koach maisav higi la'amo, the power of his act he told to his people. And still the question begs itself. Why is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem the first mitzvah? Again, other mepharshim, the Chinuch, and other mepharshim bring down a couple of mitzvahs in Bereishis, Bris Milah, with Zeich and the Shir, to learn the beautiful Perek in Shabbos, Rav Elezer de Milah, talking about Milah, how it pushes off Shabbos, how you're allowed to do different things on Shabbos. That may be a mitzvah before, but again, the Rambam tells us in Chulin Daf Kuf, that Misinai Nasar, that really the mitzvahs only happened at Har Sinai. That's when we got the Torah. So the question is, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, why is that the first mitzvah? I understand why Hashem created the world and he brought in the others, because he wanted to show that the Torah was given to us and it comes to our fathers, but why specifically is HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem the first mitzvah? And lastly, we'll call it 3B, even though it's really 4, but we're going to, people's brains usually after 3 questions, they get, you know, their brain turns off a little. Well, we'll call it 3B, that it tells us in Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Yudzayin, Ushmartem et hamatzos, ki be'etzam hayom hazeh, hoseisi et sivoseichem mi'eretz mitzrayim. Right, Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Yudzayin, and Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Pesachim, right, Daf Yomi, the Mechesem Yudbeis, Daf Yomi is a little further, but amazing Gemara. The Gemara says, don't read it matzos, al tiekore et ham matzos, don't read it the word matzos, ela et ham mitzvos, kiderach she'ein machmitzin et ham mitzvos, just like you don't want the mitzvos to become stale, kach ein machmitzin et ham mitzvos, just like you don't want the matzos to become stale, you don't want the mitzvos to become stale. And ask the Ksav Sofer, why specifically, like, what is it? Because it's the same words, matzah and matzah. That's what Chazal is doing. It's a very fascinating Radvaz. Rav David ben Zimri. He says an amazing his tshuva. He says, you know, if you look in the Torah, there's no nekudas. You know, you guys remember when you guys were practicing for your bar mitzvah parshas that, you know, you had your little tikkun, sometimes you peeked the other way, and your teacher or your father, whoever taught you how to lean, turned to you and said, listen, you know, I know you're looking over the other side, but guess what? When you get up in the Torah, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to do that. I was once somewhere, I got the Aliyah Makoyin, and there were a lot of people in that minyan, and my in-laws came for Shabbos, and we were in the Grus campus, and Herschel Schechter was there. And this guy was waiting, I was following him, and he wasn't looking inside, he was just doing it for memorization, and he got all flabbergasted, and I remember I went to Rav Schechter, went to my father-in-law, Rabbi Schwartz, and they're trying to poskim, like, what to do, I have to make a bracha again, but he was trying to do it by heart, and again, you're not allowed to lay in the Torah by heart, I remember that story, right, they said that, yeah, and Rav David was there, and the whole poskim that I had to make a new bracha, that the guy was doing it, but the Radvaz says, what does the Radvaz say, he says, why are there no nekudas, put nekudas in the Torah. Put nekudas. Says the Radvaz. No, the reason why there are no nekudas, you know why? It's because Torah Shabbat Peh. We even make drushas even in the words. I don't want to limit myself to nekudos. Since I don't want to limit myself to nekudos, therefore, that's why Chazal say that we're going to make Torah Shabbat Peh. But what is this drusha about? And furthermore, why does it say ki be'etzem hayom hazeh? Don't make the mitzvah stale, because on this day I took you out of Mitzrayim. What's the connection between this and going out of Mitzrayim? So again, we have 4 questions. First question, question number 1 is, what is the conversation between Moshe and Paro? Question number 2 is, why is Arbe, the 8th plague, so extreme? Again, we've had a lot of plagues. We've had a lot of Keenan, we have lice, no one likes lice, and we had Svardea and frogs. So why is Arba so extreme? The third question, why is HaKodesh HaZeh Lachem? Why is that the first mitzvah specifically in the Torah? And lastly, Ushmartem et HaMatzos. Don't say it's matzos, but read it as mitzvahs. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to try to come out with two Yisoidis. And our goal is to try to take these two Yisoidis and try to put them together, make it nice. Right, I remember once giving a shiur and he's like, Kolo, I also made two Yisoidis. And I put them together, and the Talmud came after. He's like, Rob, I like your stories. That's probably the only thing he remembers. Chassid Shalom, you know, he remembers the Torah, obviously. And he said, I remember, I like your stories, but your two ideas had nothing to do with anything. And he said, no, they did, but well, let's try. So, the first yesod, the first idea, is a very, very fundamental difference between us and the Umos HaOlam, and the non-Jews. What was the conversation between Moshe and Paro? What was Moshe saying, and what was Paro saying? Paro said, listen, Moshe, I understand your God is with you. He wants you to get out of Mitzrayim. It was supposed to be a lot more years, but I see that it's earlier. It's going to be 210 years, and you're going to get out. But only the men should get out. Don't have the women get out. Why do you need anyone else? The men are the most important thing. The men are the clergy. The clergymen, they are the ikur. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Moshe that, listen, the clergymen, the rabbis are the most important thing. You don't need to worry about anyone else. The rabbis are the people that are passing down the tradition, passing down the heritage, passing down the Mesorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Paro and he says, although you think that it's just the clergy, and again, clergy, rabbis are chashiv, are so important, the leaders are so fundamental to our nation, but still it doesn't stop there. You know where it goes? It goes to the children, it goes to the, starting from the elders, it goes from just going from Mesorah to Mesorah to Mesorah. It's the family. It's the basis of who we are. It's not just the main clergy people. Again, the clergy are important. But it's Binareinu ubizokeinu neilech. When a person develops into a mishpacha, into a family, and that's how you pass on the Mesorah. The only way to pass on the Mesorah is to build yourself. And even if a person doesn't become a rabbi, but when he learns Torah and he does mitzvos, that is the essence of a person. They tell a story with Rav Henkin, who was one of the Rosh Hashivas of Torah Vadas. Rav Henkin used to get up and give fiery shears with Rosh Hashiva, and he used to have hundreds of people coming to listen in his Gemara shears and his Parsha shears. One time there was a major snowstorm. And he starts getting into it, and there's three people there. Fire, the same way he would give in front of 500 people. And then there's a Talmud, he comes over to him afterwards, and he says, Rebbe, I don't know if you realize, but there was only three of us. And Rav Henkin turned to him, and he said, you think it was only three of you? It wasn't just three of you. It was you. It was your future wives. It was your children. It was your parents, you could tell. It was continuing the Mesorah, and that's so important. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, the fundamental yesod between a Paro and a Moshe. A Paro, the Umos HaOlam, feel that it's only the clergy that have the responsibility, but we say it's not true. It's everyone in Klal Yisrael. We know in this week's Parsha, we read about the Karban Pesach. Again, the Gemara Pesachim, the whole Perek, related just to the laws of the Korban Pesach, so many detail. And the Torah tells us in Perek Yudbeis, Pasuk Yudalid, it says, amazing, Chukas Olam Tichaguhu. And the Medrash says that what does Chukas Olam mean? One explanation is Chukas Olam means the Korban Pesach. And another explanation means that Chukas Olam is Tefillin. I once heard B'Shem Rasabalovsky, I have zechus to work with him in NCSY Kolel. He says a beautiful idea. He says that, no, really, Pesach and Tefillin, even though they're two separate mitzvos, They're really one idea. Why? Pesach is like we're saying now. Pesach represents the family, the chabura, everyone coming together as a group, one big family. And that's what Pesach's about. Again, you have the details of the mitzvos, can't break the bones, as the Chinuch writes, achar apulos nimshal chalvavos, and after your heart, right, comes your actions, you have to be careful in your actions. But Pesach represents family time, as we all know. Pesach, again, we were in Corona, so we had a lot of family time, maybe a little too much family time, but the whole idea of Pesach is family coming together, because it's the Mesorah. It's the Mesorah. Baruch Hashem, I was zeiche to have parents that care, that brought values to the family, and my wife had parents that had parents that give value and build their children, and that's my job as a parent, and my wife's job as a parent, and that's everyone in this room when you're learning the Torah. Although you don't have children yet, everyone said to a guy, I'm like, you don't have children? He's like, yeah, I do. I'm like, no way. You really have children? He's like, no, really, I'm just joking. I'm like, well, thank God. You never know nowadays. But the idea is to build yourself. The more you build yourself, then you could give over. And the idea is to give it over. So what does that do with tefillin? Sefer Sobolovsky, that we know tefillin, when you have batim, you have the bias, and you have four corners like the Mizbeach. Because you're creating, again, I have two sons now, I have to start saving up a lot of money for tefillin. But then you have the Dalet Parshos, you have the Shema, putting it in your tefillin. Because that's your little house, your little Mizbeach. You build yourself, and then you affect your family. And then it goes even further than that. This Mar tells us in the Basra of Aleph, Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah. We're talking about Rav Yeshua Ben Gamla, he's talking about the yeshiva system. And Rav Yeshua Ben Gamla says, he's talking about, wow, why is Torah stemming from Yushalayim? Unbelievable that we have this chus, even in these crazy times, we're in Eretz Yisrael. And Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah says, Tosfos, why is Eretz Yisrael so zeiche? So Tosfos says, because they had the karbonos and they were involved in Yirei Shamayim, and people would come to Yushalayim and they would see the simcha, they would see the joy with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And because of that, that shows Yirei Shamayim, building yourself. So that's the idea of Pesach and Tefillin, creating our own little private, you know, when we put our Tefillin, next time we put our Tefillin on, we'll remember this, that we're creating our own little Mizbeach. We have the Dalet Parshos. So what's the idea of Arbeh? Why is Arbeh so extreme? Why did Paro go so extreme on Arbeh? He just needed it done. So the Medrash says that Arbeh, once one little egg hatches, it goes like wildfire. One little egg could just go and explode. And Paro knew that. Paro knew that if one egg hatches, then it could just take over everything. And he said, get at it, get it out. Paro, what's Paro? He's giving us, even from the Goyim we could get Musar sometimes. What's Paro saying? The power of time. The power of moments. The Medrash says, Gevaldik, it says that when Yaakov was getting the bracha and taking the bracha from Esav, again, not taking, he was zeiche to it. And the Medrash, Ibn Ezra quotes down this Medrash, that when Yaakov was leaving, getting the bracha from Yitzchak, Esav's coming in, history is in his eyes right now, what's going to happen? Yaakov, our forefather, and the Medrash says that he hid behind the door. We're talking about 2 second difference. History would have changed in 2 seconds, because that's the power of time. The power of time, seconds. I remember, I told this story last year also, when I was in, I lived in Ramat Eshkol, so me and my wife, and I think we had one or two children at the time, so we had a crazy baldira, and he was attacking us. He said, you're paying too little rent, you have to get out. To cut a story short, he came in, he was cutting electricity, the power of time, because it was crazy, the whole story, we could have a 20-minute share just on the story. But he was trying to find us, and I was getting anxious from my rabbonim what to do. And when I was walking down, right at that second power of time, he saw me. Baruch Hashem, I'm still alive. But he, power of time, seconds count. And we spoke about this before in Parshas Chayisara, because in Parshas Chayisara, we said that it says that Sarah lived 127 years, and the Medrash says right over there, that just like So I lived 127 years. Esther, Amalka, Purim's coming up. Esther had 127 provinces. And guess what? The great Rekiva was giving this drasha, and his Talmidim were sleeping. Not that anyone knows what Talmidim sleeping means. Joke, good joke, guys. Funny, okay, good. So 100, right, and they were sleeping. And then they heard this drasha, and they woke up. And the question is, what's this mean? So again, I once bumped into Reb Nevinzel, T4 myself, it means I'm trying to show off. I bumped into Reb Nevinzel, we were hanging, we were chilling, Reb Nevinzel, we had a coffee, no, we didn't have coffee. And so I asked him this question, he looks at me and he smiles and he says, Kayach Hazman. I didn't know what he was talking about, I didn't want to question one of the Gedolim, and I found the Chedushi Arim that says that if you do the math, 127 divided by 127 is 1, that means one province went up every year. And we spoke about this, good Chazar, that means every minute a new house went up. Time is of the essence. Time matters. And we have to realize how time is so important. It says the Chassav Sofer, why does it say, Shmartem et ha matzos? Don't read matzos, rather read mitzvos. Says the Chassav Sofer, Klal Yisrael is on the 49th level of Tumah. Things looked very bleak. Things looked very bad, and they were going to fall apart. But then with the rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, within seconds, Klal Yisrael caught themselves, and then they grabbed on to Kedusha, and they didn't fall. Says Iksav Sofer Gevaldik, Shmartem et ha-matzos, al tikri et ha-matzos el ha-mitzvos. Grab on. Grab on to the abilities, to the opportunities that a person has. When a person is learning in yeshiva, wow, look at opportunities we have. We have time. Sometimes we feel sometimes we have too much time. But if a person grabs on to the time and realizes that it's precious, it's going to be amazing. And that's the idea. What's matzah? 1 second could turn matzah into chametz. Don't let those mitzvahs become stale. Don't let those mitzvahs become stale. You know, a couple of years ago, when the students, they were going on a big trip. And again, Baruch Hashem, we have phones and we have technology, tremendous things going on. Awesome. Technology is amazing. But again, as we all know, everything in life could be a double-edged sword. You could get too addicted to it. You could just be on your phone the whole time. It's difficult. Sometimes you just have to create boundaries. So there was a Talmud that heard of an idea of another yeshiva, and he brought it into Mevaseret. I think this was a couple years ago. And Shragi Rothberg, I gave a shout out to his father before, and he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go on the trip, and no one could have their phones. We went on a 2-day trip, and no one was allowed to have their phones. And in the beginning, it was like, okay. You know, you had those guys obviously sneak the phone, and they have two phones, they have to put it in, but they have two phones. And in the beginning, it was easy for guys, but then it started getting really hard. Like, I can't have my phone. I can't speak to my parents. What am I going to do? Right? And like, it was hard for them. I remember at one point, we actually, we got lost in a crater for like 5 hours. So that's like when people really were bugging out that they didn't have their phones. So like, I hear that, you know, like, they're lost, like, what's going to be? But afterwards, although it was hard for a lot of people, afterwards, they said that the fact that they didn't have their phones and they were able to utilize more time, guys said they were able to learn more, they were able to have more conversations. A guy said he was able to fall asleep faster. There was one guy that gave a chabura to the Shanabek guys. And one guy said, finally, I was able to focus. I didn't have to get disturbed. Again, they're amazing things of phones. We're not taking away the greatness of phones. But at the same time, if a person maximizes his time, then it's great. So what's the connection? What's the connection between these two ideas? Because if you utilize your time and you build yourself, and you see yourself as a growing person, that will have an effect on you. That will have an effect on your future wives. That will have an effect on your, if you're married, listening. That will have an effect on the people that you're married to. They'll see how time is so precious. It will have an effect on your children, on your grandchildren. people around you, if you take time seriously and people see you doing productive things. Baruch Hashem, I was zocha to a home. My mother being someone that always did chesed, always helping. My father also helping in every way possible, always doing the daf yomi and steiging away, watching my in-laws. My father steiging away, giving shiurim all over, and my mother helping, running the house, and everyone doing tremendous things, doing things for their shul for so many years, or tzedek, and building the homes. And it starts now when a person is young. And even if a person is older, we spoke about last week, we spoke about change, and sometimes change is hard. Everyone knows change is hard for anyone. But if a person makes steps to make change, there's nothing better than that. So if you want to affect others, you got to build yourself first, your little bias. Ubinareinu b'zokeinu neilech. As Moshe is telling Paro, it's not just about the clergy. It's about building yourself, everyone. And I think the way we could really build ourselves more and more and more is to learn from the Arba. 1 second Arba spreads, it affects the whole Mitzrayim. Our actions affect worlds. Our actions can change worlds. And Nefesh HaChaim writes, Chaim Volozhin and Shar Dalid, that we don't know the power of our Torah. We don't know the power of our mitzvos. Right? We view it as like it's nothing, but it's so powerful. 1 second of Torah. We don't know what's happening in worlds above us. We believe that there's so many worlds above us. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, that's why there is no idea. That's why there's jet lag. Oh, it's so annoying. I can't fall asleep back in the time. Because says Rav Chaim Volozhin, because every second, there can't be a second without Torah. That's why in Volozhin they set up that there was always learning 24/7. There was always someone learning. So again, I think we just need to be mechazik ourselves, realize how much we're doing, how we're growing, and realizing that Bezus Hashem, we could learn from the Arba, the power of time. The idea of shmartem eta mitzvos, making the mitzvahs not stale, but making them powerful, and realizing that we could keep on building ourselves and it will affect ourselves and our families and all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing Parshas Bo.